If your life is not happy right now, this sermon this morning is for you. If you're somehow stressed out for whatever reasons, this sermon is for you. May God speak to you through the proclaimed message. 5 years ago, my family was living in Monmouth County. Right after Sandy, like all of us have experienced, my family lost power for 10 days. And you know what happens when you lose power? Freezer, that's the one we worried the most. Everything in the freezer had to be either thrown out or consumed. We chose to eat them up. So we found ourselves, three of us, me and my daughter and my wife, eating dumpling after dumpling for at least, I think, 3 days. After a while, I didn't want to look at dumplings anymore. You know, it's funny, the outage gives you and me plenty time. When you are just always up with electricity, you're always busy with something. When you don't have anything, I mean, you have no internet access and you cannot watch TV or anything. So plenty of time to reflect on a few important things in life. That's what we did for 10 days. Such as be prepared for hurricanes, natural disasters. Be prepared, at the time I was thinking, for Jesus' second coming too. Because like Sandy hit us, like rather out of nowhere, Jesus said he would come to us rather like a thief at night. And I was also thinking of the meaning of contentment. Because it was in November and close to Thanksgiving anyway, I was thinking of the meaning of contentment. And at the time, today's text, Philippians chapter 4, struck a chord in my heart. Because it says, learn to be content. Learn the secret of contentment in all circumstances. And that's what we're going to think about this morning. And I hope and pray that at the end of my sermon, all of us learned the secret of contentment. Now, to stay on the same page, let me begin with a definition of contentment, what I mean by that. I looked up the definition in two different dictionaries. First one is Webster, and the second one was Oxford Dictionary. Content as an adjective is feeling or manifesting satisfaction with one's possessions, status, or situation. I really love that definition in the Webster. Therefore, contentment as a noun is a feeling of happiness or satisfaction with what you have. For example, if you say, I found contentment in living a simple life, that's what it means, contentment. Feeling of happiness or satisfaction. Now, if you read today's verse 11 one more time, you see Paul, the apostle, saying that he has learned, mastered to be content in whatever circumstances he is. I looked further up the word for content. In Greek, it is called autarkes. You don't have to remember this Greek word, but let me tell you that autarkes is the new word combined with two separate words. They put them together and created a new word. Auto, the first one is A-U-T-O, auto, auto, self. Arkes, at the second part, meaning be sufficient or enough. So you get the idea. Autarkes means that self-sufficient. Actually, this word, autarkes, was a buzzword in the first century in the Roman Empire. Like in the 21st century in America, there are certain buzzwords in our society such as go green, energy efficient, organic food, non-GMO, and so forth. So in the first century, the word autarkēs was so popular among people that everyone wanted to achieve that goal, autarkēs, in their lives. So here's what autarkēs means. It is resourceful, self-sufficient, satisfied, or even content. In the first century, this autarkēs was often preached and practiced and promoted by a school of philosophers known as Stoics. I just quote from the Wikipedia about Stoicism. Stoicism is a school of Hellenistic philosophy founded in Athens in Greek by Zeno in the early 3rd century before Christ, and became the foremost popular philosophy among the educated elite in the Roman Empire. Foremost popular philosophy among the educated elite in the Roman Empire, and it emphasized virtue is sufficient for happiness. Keep that in mind. Virtue is sufficient for happiness. Now, I want you to pull out this paper. Everyone has it in your bulletin. This is a sermon help, in which you see the comparison chart between Stoic contentment and the Christian contentment. There are some similarities between two schools, such as everyone wants it. Who doesn't? You want it, I want it, everybody does. Another instance, it is good for everybody. When you are content with life, you are, and I am, less stressed, and we stay cool in times of adversity. There's fine differences, too, between the two. The first one is this, as you look at the chart there. At the heart of Stoic teaching, we can see human pride that declares that I want to be independent. I want to be completely autonomous, in need of none else. Have you ever met or you know someone who refused to receive any help from anybody, although they are more than willing to help others? They said, I don't want to be a burden to anyone. I know some. Let me tell you this. Deep down, there's a human pride there. Christian contentment, however, is different. It is grounded not in self, but in God. At the heart of the believer's contentment, we find not pride, but faith and trust in God. The second difference is this. To those people who follow Stoicism, or Stoics we call, a completely autonomous and independent will matters the most. In fact, they are afraid of losing the balance and harmony in their mind and heart to any disturbances from the outside world that they attempt to detach themselves from realities. Here's one quote from one of the prominent teachers of Stoicism. His name was Epictetus. I quote, "Freedom is secured not by the fulfilling of man's desires, but by the removal of desire." Freedom is secured not by the fulfilling of man's desires, rather, but by the removal of desire. That sounds to me like the Buddhistic teaching. You see, I grew up in the Buddhistic country, and Buddhist teaching basically says this. You want to be free from life's worries and anxieties? Detach yourself from life's troubles. Pretend that they are not there. That's what it is. You know, Buddha, I'm just digressing a little bit, he counted somehow how many types of agony in life. And he came up with 108 different types of agony. I just read through once, but I forgot most of them, but I still remember a couple of them. One says, the one agony is this. You try to have someone around you all the time. Like you're falling in love with someone, but somehow the person is not near. You cannot have that person. That's one agony. The other person, the agony is the opposite. You want to get rid of this guy, so annoying and pesty, but you cannot get rid of the guy. That's another type of agony and so forth. 108 So he says, you want to be free from all these agonies? Just pretend that they're not there. Detach yourself. Anyway, it sounds like a Buddhistic teaching. Anyway, let me continue on this, the Epictetus. So when life brings them, Stoics, either good or bad, sorrow or joy, these people who follow Stoicism desire to maintain their peace in mind by what? By being indifferent to the outside world. That's perhaps why nowadays the word Stoic commonly refers to someone indifferent to pain, pleasure, grief, or joy. Christians are different. We focus on God's will rather than our own will. We are not concerned about losing our cool in the midst of trouble either. In fact, we want in our heart not the human peace and quiet, but the peace that the only Christ can give. The peace, Christ says, that the world cannot give nor take away from us. We want that divine peace to keep our hearts and minds. Then your question is, how do we get that divine peace? We gain His peace when we are, listen, when we are totally in tune with God's will. I remember first time ever, I became a Christian when I was 17 years old, and a year later, I had an experienced divine peace, first time. And I remember I was, you know, struggling. That's the same time, if you remember my testimony before, I even gave ultimatum to God. Lord, if you don't show me your will in 2 hours, I'm going to quit. And He didn't give me the answer in 2 hours. You cannot fool God. But anyway, at the time, I was so desperate. Lord, just tell me what to do, and so forth. And after that, when I surrendered to God, Lord, your will be done. I don't care whatever it is. Just tell me what you want me to do. And after my surrender, I experienced the peace of Christ coming from my heart like a river attendeth my way. We're going to sing that song after my sermon. When you say to the Lord, your will be done, not mine, and you are in tune with God's will, and you will experience God's peace. So instead of being afraid to express our feelings outward, like Stoics do, and instead of worrying about losing our cool before people, when we submit ourselves to God's will in, not only in good circumstances, but in bad circumstances, and then what you will have is His peace. And that will keep you in contentment. The third difference is this. To attain peace and quiet in their mind, Stoics rely on their own strength and self-control. They call virtue. Remember? Virtue is sufficient. On the contrary, Christians do not rely on their own strength. Rather, they rely on God's strength. If you look at verse 13, which a lot of us love to quote, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. In this verse, Paul declares that he can do all things in Christ, including the contentment. That's what he's saying. He honestly acknowledges here that the true source of contentment is not us, but God. Contentment is rooted in God's strength and not in self-strength. Now, please reason with me. I'm the guy, before someone says that this works and whatnot, before I follow, I always test it. And I looked at Paul's life. And my question for him was, is he even qualified to talk about contentment? Because when everything goes well in your life, it's easy for you to say, yeah, be content and be happy. Really? So I looked at his life, what kind of life he lived through. And I believe that he is well qualified to talk about contentment in all circumstances. Here's why. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he describes what kind of life, what he's been through. I quote, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. And I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, from bandits, and from my fellow Jews, and from Gentiles in the city and in the country, at sea, and from false believers. I have labored and toiled, and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. If you think that's not enough of a qualification to talk about contentment in every circumstance, listen more. He even suffered from a lifelong disease. Scholars believe that either it was an incurable eye disease or an epilepsy. And by the way, he was sitting in prison when he wrote this letter. Be content. So he says, I have learned to be content in all circumstances, even in prison, because of Christ who gives me strength. As a wrap-up, I'm going to present to you the secret of contentment. You can call it three keys to contentment, if you will. The first one is this. Make Christ your ultimate goal, not contentment itself. Pursue Christ and you will gain everything, including contentment. However, if you're only interested in gaining contentment without following Jesus, you will lose them both. Contentment is a byproduct of obeying Jesus. In times of need, tap into Christ and His strength, not yours, and you'll find contentment in every circumstance and situation, both good and bad. Declare to yourself, as Paul did, in Christ, I can be content. Next thing is this. Acknowledge that the secret does not lie in you. It's okay to say that I am not strong enough. I have no power. Because contentment is not about your virtue. It is not about detachment of yourself from desires either. Contentment is never about self-sufficiency. Rather, it is everything about God's sufficiency. Thank God, I thank God too, that we don't have to rely on our will or willpower to achieve contentment. We simply cannot. The third key to the contentment is this. Trust. Learn to trust in God's goodwill for you in all circumstances. Because Jesus knows what you are going through now, and He loves you, and He is with you. And He will see you through, and He will deliver you, and He will provide you with your needs. I love this God's promise, Romans 8:28. God causes all things in our lives, good and bad, to work together for good in His time. So when you trust in God like that, even bad things, you may say that maybe there's some reason behind. God knows what I'm going through, and only then you can be content in Christ. Let's bow as I say. Last night, as I was preparing the sermon and praying, Lord, I checked myself asking, am I content? At certain areas still going on for years. But I came to the conclusion that I trust in God. He knows what I'm going through, and He will guide me through. I lift up those individuals right now to your care and attention. We're overwhelmed with life's challenges and stresses. That's why, Lord, you give us the scripture as the lesson. Help us to think of Paul, what he had been through. Why this gentleman been through so many more than anybody else I know. Yet in the end, even sitting in the dungeon, he says, I am content because of Christ. Waiting for his execution, actually. Wow. Help us, Lord, to learn that secret of contentment. In Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.